sad to say, but the presence of Nazis in Australia is, in the year 2025, an increasing concern, not least after the explicitly anti-Semitic neo-Nazi rally outside New South Wales Parliament on the 8th of November. And Nazis in Australia is the topic of an event in Melbourne this week, in which our next guests, Mark Ahrens and Graham Blewett, discuss the legacy of Australia's Special Investigations Unit. Now, that unit had a connection with ABC Radio National, as you can hear from this 1989 ABC archive snippet.
In 1986, Background Briefing put to air a series of programs that were so significant in their impact, they led to a special federal government inquiry. The series was Nazis in Australia, produced by Mark Ahrens. Subsequently, the government established the Special Investigations Unit to find out whether satisfactory cases existed against individual accused Nazis to warrant their prosecution.
That's the introduction to a repeat of the series, and here's how Mark Ahrens summarised its revelations at that time.
Britain was very active in rounding up and recruiting many of the people from Central and Eastern Europe who had so recently formed the armies of the Holocaust. They were wanting to use them as people who could be sent behind the Iron Curtain to help roll back Stalin's tyranny from Central and Eastern Europe. Now, when these operations failed, these people were an embarrassment to Britain in the main, but also to the United States, and they looked for places to dump them. Australia was one of the most popular dumping grounds. Once they were here in Australia, our authorities, our politicians, our security services knew all about who they were because they were busily resurrecting their fascist and Nazi movements here. And ASIO, for example, was busily penetrating them, protecting them, turning a blind eye to their resurrected Nazi organisations, and even encouraging and using them as anti-communist counterweights in migrant communities that were seen to be in the Cold War atmosphere too left-wing. And that's the practical reason why justice is so belated, why nothing has been done by our authorities, despite the fact that we knew that mass murderers were living amongst us.
That was Mark Ahrens in 1989, and I'm very pleased to say it's welcome back to ABC Radio National in 2025, Mark.
I'm very pleased to be here, Julia.
It's great to have you. And we're also joined by Graham Blewett, who worked at the Special Investigations Unit for five life-changing years and was its director from 1991 until it was shut down in 1994. Graham also went on to spend a decade as deputy prosecutor of the UN International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia. So welcome to you also, Graham.
Thank you very much, Julian. Nice to be here.
I wonder if, Graham, you could give us an overview of how many Nazis or Nazi collaborators ended up living in Australia in total, and how those numbers played out in the work of the Special Investigations Unit.
I suspect that they were here in their thousands. At the time, after Mark's background briefing programs, the Menzies Review was set up, and Menzies came up with about 70 allegations against Nazi collaborators living in Australia. By the time the SIU finished its investigations in 1992, we had investigated over 840 separate allegations. About half of that number couldn't be located or they were deceased. And I think it came down to about, 36 or thereabouts, where the SIU was quite satisfied that there was sufficient evidence available to implicate them in war crimes. In the end, only three prosecutions were launched. Two others failed to proceed to prosecutions because of the interference of the Keating government at the time.
And ultimately there were no convictions, is that right?
That's correct. One got to a jury, which in itself was quite remarkable. But I think because of a number of reasons, including the behaviour of the trial judge, a lot of the prosecution evidence was not able to be led because the judge ruled it inadmissible. So what the jury heard in the end was really a very small part of the overall prosecution evidence. And I'm quite convinced in my own mind that had the jury heard all of that evidence, the conviction would have been quite likely. One of the other cases, Heinrich Wagner, again, that was an extremely strong case. And just prior to the trial commencing, he suffered a heart attack and the Director of Public Prosecutions decided to withdraw the proceeding. So that case didn't proceed. I was quite angry at that stage that that had happened, because my view was that we should have waited to see if Wagner would have recovered from his illness and would have been able to stand trial. But in the end, that did not happen, and he lived for another 10 years and was never prosecuted after he had his heart attack.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Graeme Blewett, who we heard from just there, and Mark Ahrens, who are both appearing in Melbourne this week to discuss the legacy of Australia's Special Investigations Unit. And Nazis in Australia is also the title of a book to which they've both contributed. Mark, if I could return to you, you mention in your book that there were indeed three extra episodes of Nazis in Australia that you never made. Why was that?
After the program and after the Menzies review had actually confirmed the essence of our charges, I decided to go to the Soviet Union. And I arrived there at the end of January 1987. And the Soviet Union was in one of its coldest winters in decades. And I didn't have any real warm clothes. We went to Ukraine, to a tiny little village, where I ended up recording two giant peasants who had witnessed Ivan Polyakovich, who was the one case that went to full trial, who had witnessed him killing a Jew, including some of their family members. I'll never forget that one of them started to cry. And before the tear had reached his cheek, it froze. That's how cold it was. And anyway, I collected a lot of material about Polyakovich, and I arrived back in Australia, and one day there was a message on my desk saying, please ring Bob Greenwood from the Special Investigations Unit. And I did that, and I explained that I'd assembled a lot of documentation and witness statements, and I said, I'm going to make some more programs later in the year about it. And he just looked at me and said, oh, well, look, I'd really like you to give me that material first. And I knew at that moment that I was never going to make those radio programs, because I knew how powerful the evidence was.
So we've heard about Mark's amazing trip to Ukraine. Graeme, you also visited Ukraine as the director of the Special Investigations Unit. I wonder if you could speak a little about finding evidence 50 years after war crimes for a legal investigation rather than a journalistic one, and your assessment of, I suppose, the qualities and the limits of what was able to be obtained.
The team that I was involved in, our primary focus was Ivan Polyakovich. So all of our interviews were video recorded and audio recorded. We travelled to Saniki, which was the village where the Jewish population had lived and who were executed by Polyakovich and his other Nazi collaborators and the Nazis themselves. And at the end of our six-week investigation, I was satisfied that we had enough evidence to implicate Polyakovich in the mass murder of the 550 Jews of Saniki. One of the witnesses that we had seen in Saniki had taken us into a forest, and he stood in the middle of this forest without any paths or laneways or signs or anything. It was just a bunch of trees. We followed him, and he reached a point, he turned around, got his bearings, and said, if you dig down here, you will find the mass grave. And they dug a hole, and sure enough, they found human remains. Yes, there was a mass grave there where this witness had said. And following that, Polyakovich was indicted and charged a few days later following his arrest by the SIU. So in the end, that case went to court, and it followed on the great work that Mark had done, and the SIU established once and for all that it was possible to gather evidence 50 years after the event from crimes committed on the other side of the world and to bring Soviet witnesses to Australia to give evidence. And as I said earlier, the matter did end up before a Supreme Court jury in Adelaide.
Mark, you must have been disappointed that, for all its work, the SIU didn't secure any convictions.
Well, I would say, Julian, that disappointment was inevitable because the legal system really couldn't cope with it. And I think that Graeme referred to the judge in the Polyakovich case. Well, I think that the judge was actually disgraceful, because what he did was he looked at the prosecution case, saw what its strengths were, and systematically wiped them out. So the jury never heard the real case.
Graham, obviously the theme of the book is that the SIU shouldn't be judged just on the lack of convictions in the end. What other achievements or contributions would you point to in support of that proposition?
I think the most important thing was that we did establish quite clearly and strongly that it was possible to gather evidence in relation to war crimes committed in Europe 50 years after the event. So for me personally, that gave me a lot of confidence that when the SIU closed down and I went to The Hague for the International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia, I went there with no doubt in my mind that that UN tribunal could succeed. And I was able to draw upon those Nazi war hunters who had worked with me in Sydney. So I was able to put together very, very quickly a team of experienced war criminal hunters who were all experienced in carrying out investigations. And I brought Grant Neiman with me, who was the Commonwealth Deputy Director of Public Prosecutions and was involved in the prosecutions in Adelaide. So from the legal side and the investigative side, we were able to bring people that had that experience. And I think that was instrumental in how the tribunal got off the ground quickly. And in the end, we're able to bring all indictments, and in total, the 161 people were indicted by the tribunal, and all 161 of them ended up in The Hague to face prosecutions, at least those that were still alive.
Graham Blewett and Mark Ahrens, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
The new book, Nazis in Australia, Exploring the Legacy of Australia's Special Investigations Unit, was compiled by Graham Blewett and edited by Mark Ahrens, and they're both appearing at the Melbourne Holocaust Museum on November 19.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.